Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
For three decades, he's spoken to Hall of Famers. Now, he is one, but he still finds time each week to speak to us. He's our NFL insider and Pro Football Hall of Famer, Bob Glauber, only on the program.
Welcome back here on the program. Time to finish strong here on a Thursday. We talk NFL football with Hall of Fame writer Bob Glauber. He's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. You step on the lot there at Worth, you'll recognize it's different. They treat you like family. Rick Worth and his crew, locally owned and operated, family owned and operated for years and years and years. The biggest and best selection of new and used Harley-Davidsons. It's at one place. It's at Worth Harley-Davidson. Go see him today. WorthHarleyDavidson.com online. If you've got a title on any kind of vehicle, they're interested in talking trade with you. Listen, you're not going to get a better deal anywhere than at Worth Harley-Davidson. Go see him today. Great work on your trade, great financing, and, of course, great people up there. Anything you need for yourself that goes on the bike, right, like the best apparel around, parts, and, of course, the new and used Harleys, they're there at Worth Harley-Davidson. Go see him today. Bob Glauber, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Seren. Thank you. How are you?
Doing very good. Let's start with, because it's always exciting, and the NFL is finally coming out of the dark ages, and I think owners have forced general managers to actually use every resource that's at their availability to acquire talent. That means the, 20-year moratorium on trades in season that happened after Jimmy Johnson fleeced the Vikings is slowly coming to an end, making the trade deadline more exciting. And could we be seeing a Herschel Walker-type deal with Deshaun Watson in the not-so-distant future?
Well, I think it's possible. I don't know if it would amount to a Herschel Walker deal, because that was, to me, once in a lifetime. And, you know, that was a defining moment for Jimmy Johnson and the eventual Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys. Listen, you know, the Watson, I'm hesitating, because this thing has been occurring in fits and starts. There have been moments where, oh, a trade is imminent, and that was like 2 months ago. Well, it's going to happen. That was 4 months ago. Whoop, it's going to happen, that, you know, 3 weeks ago. So, you know, we have to wait to see if there's any finality on Deshaun Watson's legal situation. And that, to me, is the biggest issue if the Dolphins are going to make a trade. I think the Dolphins are pretty clear that they're not high on, I'm going to try it, Tua Tagovailoa, and they just don't feel that he is the guy, and I think they're ready to cut bait. It's a matter of whether they feel and whether Deshaun Watson would be able to play, and we haven't seen that because the Texans have not dared to try that line. They have not tried to play Deshaun Watson to see if Roger Goodell would step in and put him on the commissioner's exempt list because of the ongoing investigation into the assault allegations against him. I was going to say charged, but he has not been charged. So the assault allegations that are hovering overhead. So this is obviously a complicated deal that involves much more than just a player team interest.
I had somebody in the league say, and of course they're not in the legal system, but they said, look, if nothing's come down to this point, there's starting to become a feeling that nothing's going to come down, and that's what's going to increase the interest in Deshaun Watson. You know, is that the – listen, I know you're not a lawyer in the legal system either. Is there – do you get that vibe? Is there a consensus that mindset exists in the NFL from where you sit?
I think there is a school of thought that the NFL is feeling that way. You can't say so with assuredness because you don't know. Because, you know, the Texans haven't tried it. And if a trade is made, we don't know if Roger Goodell is going to step in. I mean, he hasn't at this point. And when you look at precedent, when you look at other cases, especially in the immediate aftermath of Ray Rice, he has made very quick decisions on players in that kind of a situation, and he has put them on the commissioner's exempt list, and he hasn't really, you know, hesitated to do that. So I think that you can read that hesitation in this one as a positive sign in terms of Deshaun Watson being able to play if he is traded. And he's not, you know, clearly he's not going to play in Houston. I wonder if the Texans would, you know, do you play him? Do you activate him to see if Roger Goodell would act and put him on that exempt list? That's one way of doing it, because then you know. And then the Miami Dolphins would know, okay, either is or is not going to be able to play until these allegations are resolved.
Do you think they're really going to get three first-round picks and three more picks? What is it, three picks and three players is the report that they want, and they're not just guys you were going to cut anyway, right? Like, yep. You know, is the bounty going to be that much for Deshaun Watson?
I think it could be, Soren, because, you know, you always say, oh, the team would never give up that many picks. But you know what? You know, when it's a franchise quarterback who's 26 years old, who is theoretically in the prime of his career, no price is too high. And, the Miami Dolphins do seem like that desperate team. That might be a market of only one. The Eagles have dropped out. They were interested previously, but are just not willing to go there. And, you know, they'll be in very good cap situation and more draft situation next year. They've got multiple first-round picks. So if they feel like they're going to need a quarterback, I think there'll be some options there for them without Deshaun Watson. So, so the answer to your question, I think that it would be a high return. Not a Herschel Walker return, but a high return.
We're talking to Bob Glauber, our NFL insider here in the program. The success of Matt Stafford, is that going to steer teams towards the disappointment to this point? I mean, we had George Shurry on from Pro Football Focus, and he said, yeah, I think you'd have to classify really all the first round quarterbacks this year as somewhat disappointing. Of course, the book has not been closed on any of them. Lots of time for any of them to develop into being a star player. But he said, yeah, I think you'd have to say, you know, you're at least a little bit disappointed in the early returns, because we've seen guys step out and make mistakes, but also make a lot of big plays, and we're not seeing that right now. Does the success that Matt Stafford's having with the Rams point teams towards let's all line up for the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes next year? Let's look for the veteran quarterback that might be made available somewhere else.
Yes, especially when it's Aaron Rodgers on the other end of that. Now, there's a long way to go between now and next year as far as Aaron Rodgers goes. And if that guy leads them to a Super Bowl, how in the world do you not trade Love and not Rodgers? I mean, it becomes, you know, almost laughable. But, you know, we'll see how they do in the playoffs, assuming they get there, and I think they will. But I think that it's certainly a safer alternative, you know, not only Stafford, but start to go back another year to Brady. I mean, Brady kind of set the thing in motion where he is basically determining his future. And I think Stafford did that to a very large extent. He told the Lions, I'm done. I've had it. I've given you more than 10 years of my career. I want to go somewhere else. So I think that is going to continue. Quarterbacks trying to determine their future. And I think teams in a position to make a run with a veteran quarterback are absolutely going to be interested in doing that that trade for an established veteran and giving up basically a king's ransom if necessary, because that's what you have to do. Now, I think the Rams had a very affordable trade to get Stafford, who has clearly been an upgrade over Jared Goff. Jared Goff, there's talk of him being benched. It won't happen this week. But, you know, the guy hasn't won a football game yet, and the Rams are in the elite category now as a contender in the NFC for a Super Bowl. So, yeah, when you see positive results on that, it's a copycat league. You'll absolutely see other teams do that. And there'll be a line for Aaron Rodgers that will be long and will have a lot to offer the Green Bay Packers if they decide to move him.
Throw in Russell Wilson's name. It's not just Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson in a trade. Could the Vikings be in a rebuild and make Kirk Cousins available? Then Ben Roethlisberger, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, all guys that are starting right now are also at the ends of their contracts and could be out there. I think it's just interesting the dynamics that are at play. It's, you know, somebody hits on Patrick Mahomes, then it's got to draft a quarterback. And we go from one or two quarterbacks in the first round to five every year, everyone trying to, you know, recreate Mahomes. And then, okay, we see people hitting their head against the ceiling on guys, and they turn around and, oh, no, no, back to the veteran route. Here we go. This is what we got to do. Is there any chance that after a couple of years away, Andrew Luck would be like, you know what, I want to come back and give this another go? Have you heard any rumblings of that?
Heard no rumblings of that. I was thinking about him the other day. He has basically disappeared off the face of the earth. He has, you know, become a hermit in terms of, you know, public access or visibility.
Yeah.
So I think he is, look, you never say never, especially with an athlete who has been that good. And if he sees a situation where he's got an offensive line that, you know, for a team that would be interested in him, maybe I think he thinks about it. But I think if there's anybody who would just go away and stay away, it's Luck because of his personality. He's just that, you know, he's a little bit, I don't want to say eccentric, but, you know, he goes to the beat of a different drum, and he's fine with that.
Yeah. Do you think that the Colts are a team that can make a run? I bring it up. The Titans are on the schedule. We'll get to them in a minute for the Kansas City Chiefs. But I was looking at what their schedule was, basically because I was trying to see who was going to be in first place. They're 4-2. The Colts are 2-4. And I was noticing, I'm like, wow, I thought the Titans were going to lose to the Bills. And some people would say they should have lost to the Bills. And if they did, they'd only be a game in front of the Colts. They're still two up, so I doubt anybody's looking at this. But at the Niners, losing record. Home for the Titans, okay, head-to-head, a chance to gain a game right there. Jets and Jaguars at home. Four games from now, if they can get things going in the next two. The next two are difficult games. I see the Titans game as an opportunity game. Do you still think that the Colts could be in this mix, or have they proven to be a flawed organization?
Oh, no, I think they're a good organization. I think they were, you know.
Well, let me say, not organization, up. I'm sorry, no. A flawed team, this addition is a flawed team.
Okay, and that's fair. I think they are one of those teams that is right now a dark horse.
Right.
You mentioned the schedule. You mentioned you didn't mention him, but Carson Wentz is playing good football. He's got his confidence back. I believe he leads the league in fewest interceptions. Does he have one interception so far? He has largely been fixed by Frank Wright. Now, does that continue? I think so. And I think once you get confidence as a quarterback, you get it back, you're in the right situation, you have the right coach, you have a coach you can believe in, then things do look up. And schedule-wise, I mean, it's not perfect, but Tennessee is not perfect. So I think there's absolutely an opportunity for the Colts, who – you know, they're that team, you know, teams that make the playoffs after a rough start, what do they use? What word they use? They use resilience. You know, this is a team that really is resilient and, you know, gone through injury situations. Wentz is still not vaccinated, so that's always going to be something to be mindful about. But, and he had the foot problem, but he's back from that. So this is a team that has weathered some controversy and some injury issues, and they're still punching, and they're still showing fight, and they were playing well even when they were losing. So I think once you start to turn the results, then you have a chance. So yeah, in answer to your question, yes, I do look at the Colts as a potential factor, and it would probably have to be a wild card berth there, because I think if you finish second in that division, I think that there'd
right.
be a little bit more competition in wild cards.
Tell me, where QBR, I like the QBR statistic that ESPN came up. I think it does a really good job of measuring quarterbacks. Where do you think Carson Wentz with his 9 touchdowns and 1 interception ranks in QBR?
You mean in terms of where in the league?
Yeah, amongst quarterbacks.
Yeah. I would say middle third.
Okay, 17th, good call, right? But listen, here's what I think is interesting. Here is 11 to 17. 11, Derek Carr. 12, Ryan Tannehill. 13, Kirk Cousins. 14, Jacoby Brissett. 15, Joe Burrow. 16, Dak Prescott. 17, Carson Wentz.
Wow, Dak 16, huh?
Yeah, it's got Dak Prescott a long way down. 16 touchdowns, 4 INTs. You know, this measures they measure your ability to, you know, your running ability matters. Winning the game you do things matters. I think it's a much better, you know, by passer rating, the old school passer rating, you flip that around. Dak Prescott is 4th in passer rating, and Carson Wentz.
He's got to be up there. Pretty efficient.
He is in the TD to INT. Where is he in the passer rating? Good grief. I have to be missing him. There's 12th. So I think it's a little more, you know, he's a game manager now for the Colts.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll develop. Maybe as he clicks with his teammates, he'll get better and he'll look more like an MVP candidate. But maybe it's an indictment on the Colts receivers. You know, maybe they'll get him some weapons. And 2 years from now, we'll be like, wow, what a steal. But right now, it is what it is. I want to take a break. I don't want to get behind it. I want to come back and I want to talk about the Tennessee Titans. Bob Glauber is with us here in the program, NFL Insider. He writes for the New York Newsday. He's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29, and Tiffany Springs. That's where you'll get the best deal on a new or used Harley-Davidson. Go see Rick Worth, Chris Guerin, and the guys. They're absolutely fantastic. It's Worth Harley-Davidson North. More with Bob Glauber next. Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking NFL football with Hall of Famer Bob Glauber here in the program for the New York Newsday. He breaks down the NFL with us each and every week. He's brought to you by our good friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. If you're looking for the best Harley-Davidson clothes, apparel of all kinds, you need the leather jacket, the helmet, the boots, the gloves, just the cool gear, the shirts, the jackets, everything. They got an incredible selection up there at Worth Harley-Davidson North. And, of course, the star of the show, the bikes themselves, new and used at Worth Harley-Davidson. Check them out right now online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Bob, I want to talk about the Titans. Gutty win, big win. First of all, what's your reaction to the Bills going for it on fourth down? Because that very easily could have been a Bills, at least overtime, and then win a coin flip and go right down the field and get a touchdown. I think you would have favored whoever got the ball to have a pretty good chance to get a touchdown the way that game was going. What was your reaction to how that game ended?
I didn't have a real problem with that. I think Sean McDermott is generally a more conservative coach, so I kind of applaud him for going for it. I don't like the play call. I certainly don't like the execution of what happened there. Josh Allen slipped. It was a mess in terms of the play, but I think the decision to go for it was correct. But again, Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, could have had the better play, and that blocking was pretty putrid on that one. So I was not surprised at the win. I did think that, you know, Buffalo coming off an emotional win the week before, Tennessee is kind of a gritty, tough, punch you in the face type of team with Derrick Henry, and Mike Vrabel is that kind of coach. So it didn't surprise me that it was close, that they won. Okay, maybe a little bit of what I'm trying to say is I had Titans to cover. I don't bet. I got to pick it for the paper. But I think this is a really tough team, a sound fundamental team, and a meat and potatoes team. You know, you don't really see that in the NFL too much, but Titans, they are that identity, and, you know, it's kind of a throwback. It's like watching 80s football again, you know, with Derrick Henry running between the tackles and, you know, running over safeties. So, and I thought Buffalo was a little bit vulnerable in that spot.
I thought they were as well, because I thought it was a letdown situation for them coming off the game against the Chiefs. But I think the way they got into the game right away, I don't think that really applied. I give McDermott credit for having his team ready to play. I do think the Titans got way up, and I think there's a letdown potential there for the Titans coming off this game. There's also some injuries that they continue to rack up that are going to be a problem. So it may look like a letdown when in reality they're just down manpower. I love what you said about the fourth down, because I think that's the new charge. Now that coaches are going for it on fourth down, it used to be, you got to go for it on fourth, you got to go for it on fourth. The numbers say you go for it on fourth. And now those of us that have said that, our new thing is, no, right call, right? Right decision, bad play call, right? You know, it didn't work. Therefore, you screwed it up. I'm still right in saying you should go for it on fourth down. And believe me, I am still in camp go for it. Very much so. But I do think we have to acknowledge that part of the equation and part of the fear that coaches have had of going for it on fourth down is they don't really know what to call, right? Do I just run straight offense, which is what I think they need to do, because the banging of the drum for the fourth down calls, you know, for going for it on fourth down, has been based upon the analytics of people that are generally in their base offense. They're generally coming from behind and have no choice, and so they're throwing caution to the wind and still stretching the field and doing those kind of things, because most of the fourth down numbers are end-of-game tries, right? So the data at hand, I think, is a little bit false. Now, this was towards the end of the game, I get it, but it was a little bit different in the sense that it wasn't like a lot of the fourth down percentages are based upon, you know, being at your own 27 and you're going for it because you're down six and there's only a minute 10 left, right? And so you go for it. So I do think, you know, I'll give the coaches, I think we in the if you call it, let's call it the media and the analytics community, need to allow the process to occur. But I think the one thing, I do think this is a bad call by Brian Daboll in particular, because he ran Josh Allen a lot against the Chiefs. He put that all over the tape. And it seemed like their go-to short yardage. We're going to run Josh Allen, power football with a big physical quarterback. And Mike Vrabel clearly saw that on tape, and they were ready for it. I mean, you know, you got to change it up a little.
You know what would have worked, I think, you know, with that on tape and with that, you know, those.
The jump pass.
You know, in the bank, just fake like you're going to do that sneak, and then you hold up and you throw a slant and or hit the tight end on an out route that is not covered,
right?
Because you're in a bunch formation, just do that, you know, tight end drifts out, right? But he didn't, and it was, listen, I think that, you know, Brian Daboll's got to be beating himself up for the call and certainly the execution of it. But I agree with you as far as the analyst. I think this is not your father's NFL. This is not your grandfather's NFL. This is not your uncle's NFL. This is not your older brother's NFL. This is an NFL that is really embracing the idea of being more daring. And it's not daring, but, you know, because the numbers do work. This is an analytics-based and driven series of decisions. I think John Harbaugh is on the cutting edge of that. That guy goes for fourth downs, and he has for a long time, and he's correct. So I love it. I mean, and I grew up in a very conservative NFL. You know, part of me is like, you know, Troy Aikman, when there was one play, I'm trying to think what game it is. He was questioning the Eagles going for two against the Bucs after, you know, coming to within a score at the end of the game. Is why, I don't know why they doing this, because they, you know, but they still would have trailed by eight if they missed the 2-point try, and they got within seven, or they got within six, so they could have won it on a touchdown. So, but we're all a little bit, you know, guilty of that. But I love it. I think it makes for a more exciting league. There's less of that armchair quarterback stuff the next day where you say, oh, I should have gone for it. No, what? Show some guts, you know, no risk it, no biscuit. Right? But now they're going for it. That's right. You know, any team with a half decent offense, if they're at fourth down at the opposition, you know, 39, you know, fourth and two, fourth and three, you know, they'll go for it instead of punting. I love it. I think it's a better game because of it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's a more exciting game. By the way, it didn't apply in this game, but with 22 seconds, had they, you know, if they had like 52 seconds and Daboll, you know, runs a fake and then throws it in the end zone for a touchdown, you know what the everyone would have said? You scored too fast.
Too much time on the clock.
You should have taken a knee at the one. You know, Andy Reid, I remember talking to Andy Reid. I think it's important for, you know, people to understand, you know, I think he said this on the air, but I think he said it off the air as well. When I just had a chance to talk to him for a longer piece of time about clock management and trying to score, he said, you know, listen, we can all do better. We're always trying to get better, he said. But people forget, like, in this whole process, like, you got to score. Like, that's the first part of the equation. You know, it's great. We want to score only with this much time. We want to do that. He said, you know, it is hard. They are trying to keep you from scoring at all. And that is a part of the equation. And I think we do forget it. Like, oh, you scored. Well, of course. Well, that was going to happen no matter what. That was inevitable, you boob. You're supposed to score with no time on the clock, right? And so it does speak to how good they've gotten and how precise they are as play callers.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm glad you had a chance to name drop Andy Reid on that one. We do it all the time. You know, here's how it goes. Right? I talked to Andy Reid, and he told me.
Yeah.
And then you say, I talked to Tom Brady, and he told me. I talked to Joe Judge, and he told me. So what? You know, I was doing the first take and cold beat on ESPN. We called him. Hey, you got any he told me today? Yeah, I got a couple of he told me. That's good.
That's, you know, listen, I like to think the audience is aware that I've had a couple of conversations with the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, so it's not really name dropping when everybody else has kind of been privy to many of those conversations. So anyway, but thanks, Bob. Thanks for trying to show me up like that and all. I do appreciate it.
I know I wasn't showing you up. No, I'm with you on that. I'm laughing with you, not at you. We all do it, man.
Bob Glauber, our NFL insider, is with us. You know, right now, Chiefs fans are all terrified of one Derrick Henry. Oh, how are we going to stop Derrick Henry? This is the team that beat the Bills, and we saw how the Bills slapped the Chiefs around. So we have great respect for what the Titans accomplished as Chiefs fans here. However, I would point out this is the same Titan team that lost to the Jets.
It's a weird league, isn't it? It's really a strange league, and that encapsulates it no better. This team lost to the Jets a couple of weeks ago, hadn't won a game until then, and have only won that game. And then they go out and beat the Bills in a heart stopper. Here's where the Chiefs beat the Titans. This is going to be a Patrick Mahomes day as far as I'm concerned. Load up against the run. Do what you have to do. Make Ryan Tannehill beat you because you have to stop Derrick Henry. He's a truck. But Patrick Mahomes is looking at a secondary that is ravaged by injury. And I think that will be the matchup. I think he's going to be a mad bomber in that game. He's going to have to. I think he's going to have to score points because, you know, the Titans will get theirs. But if Kansas City can do a reasonable job in the running game, and I'm reasonable, you know, to me, reasonable is keeping Derrick Henry 225 yards and two touchdowns, right? That's reasonable, actually, because he's that good. But Mahomes has got to take advantage of a banged up secondary. I think at one point they had like two healthy corners near the end of that game. So that's going to be the matchup.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we heard about this in the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago. Oh, my God, did you see what Derrick Henry did against the Patriots? I mean, Derrick Henry, to me, has been the litmus test on how important running the ball is. Because he's put up these amazing statistics. He's terrified this town against a defense that hasn't really at any time in recent years been very good against the run, yet they don't seem to have a problem beating him when it really counts. Right? They did lose to him. They had their own injuries 2 years ago when they played him in season and lost to him. But overall, I think the weapon, you know, if you're in the game, and I think this is what you're getting at with Patrick Mahomes. If the Titans are in the game, then everything's on the table. And they can keep handing the ball to Derrick Henry. And I think they will never just go completely away. But if they get to where they're a couple scores down, they're like, well, we got to throw it. He comes off the field, which I still think is preposterous. Right? I think that's a mistake that they make is, okay, we're down. It's like you have an opening like the Chiefs had against the Houston Texans in the 2019 playoffs, and your special teams has two big mistakes, and you've given up one drive, and you're down 21-0. Well, that's it. We're throwing on every down, and we're taking Derrick Henry off the field. I think you leave him on the field and just acknowledge our defense is going to have to get some stops. But we want even just flaring Derrick Henry out to the side to catch little dump passes puts pressure on the defense. Right? Like, I think you can do that a couple of times and say, all right, corner, make this one-on-one tackle in space. Because I think the Chiefs did that with Darrell Williams to much effect. And it's something that Patrick Mahomes wasn't willing to take. It was almost like, hey, this is too simple a throw for me. You know, this is basic addition. I live in calculus. So let's get some exotic route down the field where I can rocket one in. And I think this past week, he took the check down to Darrell Williams, and Darrell Williams was able to make a guy miss and get 7-8 yards, put his shoulder down, and deliver the blow on some people. And I think getting out and punishing corners helps your passing game. They don't want to come up and tackle big backs.
Yeah, I like it, and I think you're right. And I also think, you know, you flare them out. run the draw play. You know, a draw play in a hurry-up offense is very effective. You know, so many teams, you know, in a two-minute offense, especially if they're in their own territory, you know, they got a minute left and they got a decent offense, they'll just do an inside handoff, and if it gains 12 yards, then they spike it, they save their time, and then they can pass it again. So that draw play, it's a very valuable tool, and they take it away when they take Derrick Henry off the field. So I'm 100% with you on that. They must, I don't know if it's pass protection or the analytics say that Henry is just not, you know, efficient enough in that situation, but I'm with you. Keep him on the field as often as you can.
Is Mike Vrabel getting the credit he deserves? I mean, this is consistently a good team. I know there was a lot of people that thought, and there's still plenty of time, by the way, for the Titans to crash and burn, but a lot of people thought that this was going to be a big step back year. Here he is beating the Bills, sitting at 4-2. The Jets, you know, if he'd beaten the Jets, he'd be 5-1 in the talk of the town, right? At 4-2 with a Jets loss, they're like, wow, what an enigma. But is Mike Vrabel getting the credit he deserves as a head coach?
I think so. I mean, I certainly respect him. I think people who cover the league regularly respect him. Certainly Tennessee fans embrace him. You know, he doesn't have a team that is putting up, is capable of putting up 50 points on a weekly basis. You know, he doesn't have a glitzy quarterback. He's got a really good quarterback who he's helped turn around, and he's got a running back for the ages. I mean, you know, we're watching a Hall of Fame running back in Derrick Henry. So I think he gets, you know, I think he gets a share of credit. It's a gritty team. You know, they say a team reflects the personality of their coach. Well, the Titans are Mike Vrabel. Run the ball hard, punish defenses, and play, you know, defense hard like he did with the Patriots. And, you know, he's got that linebacker mentality as a coach, and I think that runs well. I think so, and if not, he deserves it. He's a really solid coach. And I had my questions about him with very little experience, 1 year as offensive coordinator in Houston, under a guy who, you know, elevated him quickly in Bill O'Brien, and then all of a sudden he gets the head coaching job. But you're seeing that now. I mean, that's the way the league is going. They're not going for older, more experienced coaches. They are going to try to hit a home run with a young guy. And Vrabel was that guy a few years ago, and he's turned into a really solid coach.
We're talking to Bob Glauber, our NFL insider. Let's take a break because I want to get into the Kansas City Chiefs and talk about them. We will do that with Bob Glauber from the New York Newsday. Hall of Fame writer. He's our NFL insider. He's brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson. Take advantage of it right now. Worth Harley Davidson has an excellent opportunity. They will give you cash for your bike right now. That's right. They will buy your bike right now. So take advantage of it. 125% trade value. Yep. How about 0% for 60 months? Check that out as well. It's at Worth Harley Davidson. Find them online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Bob Glauber, NFL insider, is with us. Brought to you by Robert Brogdon. We were at Brogdon yesterday. Other great guys. You can go see my guys at Robert Brogdon. If you're in the market for a Harley, though, the place to go is Worth Harley Davidson. Go check them out right now online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. WorthHarleyDavidson.com is where you can see their great lineup of bikes. Check out great opportunities, like maybe an oil change. You need some work done. Nobody does a better job than their parts department. They're the back in the back where they do all the work on the bikes. You can take advantage of it. Oil change, $99 oil change right now at Worth Harley Davidson. Go see them today at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Bob, let's talk about these Kansas City Chiefs. Big win against the football team. I mean, is this the one that turns them in the right direction? Was it rock bottom at halftime, trailing 13-10, the football team? I don't know if you were watching the game, but when you saw the score, were you like, oh, wow, sure, we've got to reevaluate. This team might just suck.
Yeah. And it was just an explosive second half. Listen, I'm not going to pronounce the Chiefs expired for a long time, because I think, you know, even I do these power rankings each week for the Associated Press, there's my name drop. And I always give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt. Record-wise, there are other teams that are better, that are lower. But, you know, you have to kind of take into consideration who this team is, who the quarterback is, where they've been the last couple of years, what they are. And to me, that, you know, you give them a little slack. So, yeah, you give them a first half, it's bad. And, you know, don't forget, Washington was a desperate team. they're not a very good team. You know, they had the Sean Taylor ceremony. They're, it's an emotional day. They're trying to right themselves. That defense has been maligned, and rightly so. That defense has underperformed. Probably the biggest disappointment of one side of the ball in the NFL this year in its entirety. That defense has been horrible, and they wore it in the second half. So maybe a little bit premature to pronounce them dead at halftime, but, you know, you hope that's rock bottom if you're pulling for the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think there'll be more challenges ahead. But they can take advantage of some things. I think these next two games, certainly against the Giants, that has to be a layup on the Monday night. And against Tennessee, I think the matchup bodes well in terms of Kansas City's strength versus Tennessee's weakness in terms of an injured secondary.
Yeah, I think the key is to play from in front and mm-hmm. Try to encourage the Titans not to keep handing it to Derrick Henry. If they get up front and they're just going to pound away with the big boy, then it does get really difficult. And it puts a lot on Steve Spagnuolo. And, three turnovers in the first half for the Chiefs, none in the second half. So the offense, corrected at least for a half what has been their bugaboo, which has been turning it over. Patrick Mahomes, I think may have hit rock bottom with the worst interception of his career. I get what he was trying to do, but I mean, I think that was one that really hit home with him. He did a great job of deflecting it and saying, yeah, it's going to be on, come on, man, on ESPN. I mean, he knew everybody was going to be dogging him for it. And so I think he handled it exactly the right way, but I also think he realized, okay, I can't do it all. And those I've got to eat it. And the defense is just going to have to play. And, other guys are going to have to get open. Like, Andy's going to have to call better plays. I can do everything I can, but then that's it. That's all I can do. I can't do more than that. I think there was a bit of a recognition there. And I think that's why some of the checkdowns to Darrell Williams, he started taking those. And it's something we've been asking, how Clyde Edwards-Helaire was supposed to be a really good receiver. Why aren't they getting him the ball? And I think part of the answer is Patrick Mahomes wasn't throwing him the ball, right? It doesn't always have to be some crafty Mike Martz has Marshall Faulk running a three move route, in the deep secondary. If you're going to throw to the running back, it's okay to just let him be the safety valve and let his natural talents. And Darrell Williams is not the most talented guy, but even he made one guy miss every time. Like, tackling an NFL running back of any kind in open field is hard. And if you're one-on-one, the running back should win that. He should win it at least most of the time. Darrell Williams did that. He got some. He got the yards that were then given to him, and then he plowed forward for two or three more that he took by running tough and physical. And I think that was you were watching this team kind of grow up and realize things. And I think that's an important part of the equation. Is Mahomes, I think that's maybe his last step, is to realize what his limitations are. Because up till now, the entire football industry thought there were no limitations whatsoever. I think he's found them, and I think that'll make him a better quarterback.
Yeah, I'll agree with you, I'm running the tape back in my head of the Super Bowl, and could have used some of that, because that
disagree
and
disagree.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he was running around. I think Andy Reid maybe could have used more of that. I always wonder what would have happened in the Super Bowl had they not had the tragic situation with the little girl and Britt Reid beforehand. Because I really do think years from now, books will be written and we will find out that was a mentally screwed up team because I think that was a gut punch. And it had to have been. You're a parent. We know it was a gut punch for Andy Reid. But I think, there are things you have to acknowledge. Our five can't block their five. And that wasn't acknowledged going into that game. The game plan was wrong.
Right.
And Mahomes ran around
like
Superman. And even I'll always remember the play where he's horizontal to the ground and throwing the ball, he hit Byron Pringle in the hands with that throw.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal throw. Athletic, beyond belief, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we remember oh, God, what a valiant effort. Look how tough he's being. What a great try. Yeah, and it would have been a great catch by Pringle. It was in traffic, but he went up, and it was his two hands that hit the ball first. And it could have been brought down. Like, Julio Jones brings that ball down. DeAndre Hopkins brings that ball down. I don't know. We don't need to get sidetracked on the Super Bowl.
Listen, I think the point was, and I was reacting to, was that it's totally the case that has to be with Patrick Mahomes as he goes through his career, because he's not always going to have great teams around him. and he's going to have to play with the limitations of those games. And he is Superman, and he will make those plays. But, you know, there are days when, you know, you just got to be Clark Kent and that kryptonite's out there, and you've got to, you know, take what the defense gives you. And that sometimes is a check down, and there's nothing – there is no shame in that. None. Zero. And a lot of times it's, you know, live to see another play and just take it. It's boring. You're not going to be this magical quarterback. So what? Better to win the game conservatively sometimes than just, you know, lose when you're daring and you're making a mistake. But, yes, I totally agree with your point.
We do expect the Chiefs to be able to go up and down the field offensively on a Titan defense and a secondary that's certainly banged up. How about defensively? Juan Thornhill flip-flopped with Dan Sorensen. He played all the snaps. Sorensen got less than 50% of them. That wasn't part of the plan, but Anthony Hitchens got hurt, had to come off the field. We don't know if he's going to play. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Nick Bolton got many more snaps, the young second-round middle linebacker. To me, this should just scream at Steve Spagnuolo, you've got to get the young legs on the field. Willie Gay, a second-round linebacker from last year, only got 18 snaps. I mean, to me, against Derrick Henry, what better time to put young, aggressive, physical linebackers on the field than this game? That has to be the eye-opener for Steve Spagnuolo, doesn't it?
I would think so. And I think, well, I'm agreeing with everything. It makes it a little bit boring for us, but I'm not calling you a boob. You're not calling me an idiot. Boob. No, I mean that's a smart take, and it's fine because you're not going to get burned by this exotic pass offense of Tennessee. This is mano a mano. This is smash mouth football. You're going to have to take on 250-pound diesel. And get it done. But I think young players, that's where they can shine. It's very basic. It's like, it's tackling. You know, if you can tackle the guy, you're going to come along. And I was thinking about Sorensen, by the way. I'm glad you brought him up. And how Spagnuolo and why Spagnuolo has used him like that. And I have found that coaches get comfortable with players who may not be as good, but are smart and know their system. And, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a crutch, and I think, especially in today's NFL, where you do go with young players quicker, and you should. But you know what? There's something wrong with a coach, and you almost feel bad that the coach just wants the guy who's going to be in position, even if it means he's just not physically as talented or strong or better. So that's why Spagnuolo has gone with Sorensen all this time, even though it screams out that, you know, if there's somebody younger and equal, but in his mind, I don't think the equal part has happened, but it's going to have to happen now because they're in that situation injury wise that it's going to have to do it. Yeah. But I think it's good to play younger players early. Pete Carroll is a really big proponent of that, and there was no better example than that Legion of Boom. That was a young secondary that was great. And he took the chance, and they blossomed it to a Super Bowl defense.
Yeah, I described it as it's great if you love the guys that, you know, ace the written test, but the game isn't played at a desk, right? So you got to be able to get to A to B. It's great if you know where to be, but if you physically can't get there, that's no better than a guy who's not sure where he needs to be. You're still not where you need to be. And I think I think the Dawson Knox touchdown was the final straw on that one. Let's get to our final four with Bob Glauber, our NFL insider. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Bob, we'll move quickly. Let's start with this. Chiefs at Titans. Who wins?
I like the Chiefs in this one. I think they get into the 30s, and I think they keep the Titans down to 20 or maybe even below.
Okay. Chiefs by double digits. At the end of the year, they're sitting at 3-3 right now. What's the Chiefs record?
What's five losses to get to 17? What is that, 12 wins? 12 plus 5 is 17. 12-5.
Yeah, 12 and 5. They're math, Hall of Famer, not math major, Bob Glauber with us here in the program. All right, Derrick Henry's rushing total will be what at the end of the year? Right now through six games, he has 783 yards. That puts him in a 17-game season on pace for 2,219. What does he finish with?
I will say he gets 2,122 touchdowns.
2,122. I think he gets hurt. At some point, this has to catch up to him.
I hope not.
I hope not either, because he's putting up some amazing, amazing stuff. Finally, have you ever seen the U.S. men's national team or U.S. women's national soccer team play in person?
Not the national teams, no. I saw an exhibition in Philadelphia once, Real Madrid against some team, maybe the Philly and MLS team. Okay. But that was it, in person. But I used to cover the Cosmos, so I saw some kick-ass soccer back in the day, way back in the day.
Yeah, that was Pele back in the day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
covered
absolutely.
Pele.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, going to see the U.S. Women's National Team here in a little bit, and certainly very excited about
it. I heard. The daughter. That's tremendous.
Yeah, going to have a great
time. I love the Women's National Team. It's awesome to watch. Is Pino playing?
You know what? I haven't even looked. I don't even care. I just want to, you know, to me, it's like a kind of a bucket list thing as a sports fan. So I'm fired
great.
Up. So we will
have
enjoy.
Fun.
All right, Bob, I got no more time for you. I got to go watch some soccer. So, I'm going to let you go, my friend. Always
Thanks.
Great talking to you.
All
great right. stuff. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, Trent. Take care. Have fun.